It's a hot, sexy death summer!
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John of Flores. No last
names. What? No last names.
Don't stalk me.
Don't stalk me. No, don't look at me. Skeleton Boys pod. Don't. And welcome to the Hot Sexy Death Summer, our annual summer series. This week we are reviewing Dead Heat, which I must say, it is quite hot today. So,
yeah. I thought you were going to say it was quite the treat, William.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I wanted to comment on my, well, it's old, but I had a beverage I made, a hurricane, because I'm into tiki now. And you were, I was kind of hoping you would be drinking today, but you're not.
I kind of am. I mean, I do got to do a bit of work after this, but I guess I'm working from home, so I could. I just, I got to be coherent enough to have a phone call later.
Oh, yeah. And very true. And video, no video?
No video. Yeah,
no video. Okay. Pants off. So yeah.
I'm going to pre-record all my responses as best I can right now. Yeah. Yeah. I still got my talk boy from 1990.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna play it slow, or like at half speed, so it sounds like I'm an adult. Because that definitely worked. It wasn't.
90s are back too.
Yeah. Fuck.
Do you know that?
I should just find my talk boy. Be like, what's up, guys? Oh, there's it's just my talk boy. It's like the size of an instant camera. You can't hide it. It's just like hanging out.
I have to point out, like, 90s fashion's back, and I'm not like okay with it. Like, I already lived through it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, but in that regard, we could just pull out all our old Gecko shirts.
OP shirts.
Oh, yesterday for trying to give away how often or how far ahead we are in our recordings, but there was a holiday celebration and I wore this shirt that I have that has like a bunch of like Tabasco style bottles on it and a bunch of like chili peppers.
It's yeah,
black. And I was like, there's gotta be like at least one old dude here that knows what this brand is. And they're like, oh, cool, what kind of shirt is that? I was like, it's a Big Dog shirt. And he's like, Big Dogs? Like, yeah, there you go.
Big Dogs. Yeah. That's a, what else? What are our old, what did we have in the 90s? It's so awful in the 90s.
What was it? Like the Barks Root Beer's competitor? What was it? Red Dog?
That's a beer. That was a beer.
I thought it was a root
beer. Was it a root beer? I thought it was like a bad beer. Yeah.
I thought it was a root beer. Like they had the temporary tattoos in them and shit like that. Well, there was that. What else was very 90s? I mean, we're just going to talk about liquids and food probably, but like Crystal Pepsi.
Liquids and food. Well, I was bringing up fashion because like fucking baggy jeans are back, right?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do that again.
I'm not doing that again. No. I refuse.
I don't think these younger kids understand the pain of fucking going to school and it's raining and your jeans are soaked pretty much up to your waist at that point.
Yeah, it's true.
And just fucking eating shit all the time because you're wearing Converse, which have no grip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not true. Ugh, yeah, well, I'm just like, I'm not buying any of this because this is clearly not going to stick around. It's going to just a fad that will disappear in a year and be stuck with pants that I don't want to wear.
Windbreakers.
Windbreakers.
Which was a fucking lie. Like, they didn't, I mean, I guess they kind
of... Woodpeckers are still around, right? They're kind of... Are they...
I don't know. I'm just saying they weren't useful. Like, they weren't, like... sure, like, the wind would hit it, and I guess it would displace it because of the material, but then also, like, the actual, like, material was, like, pressed against your skin. So... I just was like, oh, they were shit.
Fashion stupid.
And I remember buying one and being super stoked about it, and then realizing, like, a year later that it kind of just looked like something a clown would wear, like the same sort of, like,
yeah,
like outfit styling, the patterns and stuff. All windbreakers look like clown uniform or like outfits a little bit.
Plus, physical media is coming back also.
So. Physical media.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like
movies.
Jackass? Oh.
Physical. Yeah, because like all the streaming sites are shit. They're all like deleting content and limiting it and making it unavailable.
I think it is funny that for the most part, Netflix, if they have their in-house movies, like their animated stuff is pretty okay. But like their in-house mm-hmm. movies are on par with like Sci-Fi Channel or like Hallmark Channel. They're like, Netflix movies are kind of garbage. Except yeah. I am a fan of the Extraction films. I recently found out.
No, they're good. The first one was great. First one was super good.
Second one's hardcore. He's like escaping from a fucking prison in the middle of like nowhere. I don't know, Russia or some bullshit. And it just goes on for like an hour. like whoa.
Well, they did dabble in, it happened a few years ago. Netflix was trying to buy an Oscar. So they got in line with a lot of like prestigious filmmakers and stuff. But they wanted to be the first streaming platform to get an Oscar. But I think Apple TV beat them to it.
Oh, good.
Good for Apple. They little startup like Apple.
See, oh, yeah. God. I hear that guy is working out of his garage.
Yeah.
There was this is a little off topic, but there was a birthday boy sketch that I remember thinking was really funny because it was pretending like they were supposed to be Apple first. But all their inventions were like, yeah, I mean, we did everything here in the garage. Like, we're the guys that did this. We created this. And it was like hanging the tennis ball off the string so you knew where to stop the car when you were driving into the parking garage.
Yeah.
That's our show.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. All right. What are we reviewing? Dead Heat.
You can send us money at our Cash App at Skeleton Boys at Cash App. I don't know how Cash App works.
I don't know how Cash App works either. We'll take your money though. Okay. I have a script. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We give our first thoughts. Then we go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to TV Corner, reviewing episode 4 of From, titled This Way Gone. So,
John. As sung by Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
This way gone. I can breathe for the first time. Right?
Yeah, sounds right. I'm going to trust you on that one. okay, so this episode, according to IMDb, it says, as boy's condition grows alarming, Sarah's return to town puts him in a difficult position. Jim shares a troubling new theory about the town. So this is pretty interesting because it spells out a theory that you were cling to pretty early on, right? That Jim says that the town is being watched by people.
Yeah.
Right? Like an experiment.
I feel like it's like a social experiment.
Yeah. And so Jim thinks the same thing, which is kind of interesting. It makes sense because of what happened at the end of the first episode, right? The last episode of last season where they knew who he was. They told him to stop poking around and whatever radio signal station thing he reached. Clearly they reached somebody that is watching them.
And right? I have another theory too.
Ooh.
Now that you brought that up, and thinking about what's her name? Christy, right? Her fiance is back.
Right.
Right. I have a... Well, no, the conversation wouldn't make sense. But I almost feel like these people volunteered for this and they don't remember.
Oh, like a severance thing?
Yeah, kind of. Except they remember other things, though, is the issue. But I feel like they don't remember the important bits about why they're doing this and what's going on. Because what if Boyd's wife was right about the only way out is to kill each other or, like, just to die? But not in, like, you're going to die forever. More like you're getting out of this simulation or whatever's going on.
Well, what would be the purpose of the simulation?
To cure Parkinson's. No, I don't know.
Amusement.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's that. I almost feel like...
There are quite a few military people, right? We can gather on the show so. Or allusions to it. This is the one where Boyd got the worms, right? He's checking the worms in his arm. And he has that... And yeah, Sarah...
He's got the wormy blood.
The wormy blood, yeah. This was interesting because, like... Boyd kept Sarah alive as a promise to the priest, right? Who died. Who he's seeing now. And the priest is...
Ghost priest is like...
You're not very priesty.
You're being a pansy. A thrower in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's...
Real quick little side bit. AJ Simmons, who plays the character Randall.
Yes. Our new favorite character.
Because it didn't occur to me. I kept looking at him like, man, this guy looks familiar. Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Reacher series with Alan Richardson?
Reachers. No, I don't think so.
Reacher, which is, I think this is supposed to be the same character as that Tom Cruise.
Jack Reacher series.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see it.
Tom Clancy wrote that, or?
No, it's, not. Is it Tom Clancy? No, it's somebody else. Oh, wait. You're thinking of Jack Ryan, but I think.
I am thinking of Jack Ryan.
Reacher is, it's another author. That's like his popular series. I don't remember the author's name.
Lee Child. It's a series called One Shot.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, Alan Richardson, right? Is that how you say his name, I think? I kind of forgot his last name. The guy that played Hawk in Titans.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He mm-hmm. plays the character. It's really good. Anyway, this guy, Randall, plays one of the sort of bad guys in the series.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. He looks like a military guy.
But I think he's just like a bratty rich kid.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He looks very military in this series.
So. And this one, yeah. He's got the bag and everything.
Well, I mean, most of this episode was just kind of like the repercussions of Boyd keeping Sarah alive, which was his choice. I mean, it was his choice to keep her alive because of the priest thinking she was important, but not quite because she was talking to other people. But we already know that there's a lot that these call them vampires for sake of a lot, you know,
yeah,
better description there, that they are like already speak to a lot of people. Like they're already speaking to like Tabitha. They've already spoken to the little boy, Jade as well. They've communicated with him in like flashbackish ways, not directly like talk to him, but like in a
another theory.
Off-kilter way. Yeah. New theory.
An add-on to theory theories. The old man that was chained up and gave the whole "my blood is your blood" to Boyd.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Computer virus. And that's why when he finally died or whatever, the old man, he just disappeared.
Yeah. Yeah, I think So the show is did a really good job of focusing on the characters and kind of explaining them and making them relatable, building drama as a way of not continually kind of giving you information about the mystery, because like they can't continue to give you pieces of like the mystery. They just kind of spread it out if they have an idea, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're hitting that point in the series right now where it's kind of trying to stretch it a little bit too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. That like, like all these like characters are interesting and like there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. But yeah, there it kind of feels like the mystery is just like dead in its place. It's not really expanding or growing or. And they keep hitting the same beats of we're trapped here. What do we do? Like they're trying to continually find meaning, and it seems rather cynically hopeless because they're stuck there. I mean, what can they do? I feel like that they've dragged it out enough to where like the other shoe should drop, you know, like there should be another. Something big should happen to kind of pull us in another direction at this point, because I feel like we've kind of just going very slowly in a circle.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get maybe a little bit more, some more answers in the next episode.
Which we haven't seen yet.
Which totally haven't seen.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like once we start hitting like episode 6, some like really crazy shit's gonna happen. It's just a feeling I have, not because I accidentally saw too many episodes. But all the theories that I'm presenting right now have nothing to do with that episode. They're just like thoughts that I have in my head. Like,
Okay. It's unrelated.
Yeah. They're actually unrelated. It's just like genuine, like I'm trying to like figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I did like the focus on Kenny's character. Like, he's kind of having a rough time of it in terms of, like, not only is the murderer of her dad back, Sarah, but also Christy's kind of, like, in her own world with her former fiance.
Mari?
She has no chemistry with. Mari?
Oh, my God. No, yeah. There's nothing.
Not that I've seen...
Love is maybe dead. Maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah, and then they allude to Mari having a drug problem this episode because she's in the medicine cabinet. I think one of the characters finds her there.
I thought it was it Boyd? No, maybe it was Boyd.
That.
Yeah.
Or Tabitha.
Didn't she drink something?
So, theoretically, it may have happened on a different episode. But here she was only counting everything. And then she quickly made an excuse that she's taking inventory. Christian gave her the key and she's taking inventory.
But if she has... Do you think Christy's aware that... I mean, no. She is aware, right? No, she's not aware.
She's not aware. I just think the storyline's going to be predictable.
Dumb. Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's going to be dumb. And it's kind of like, it was kind of cool in the beginning because like Christy and Kenny were kind of hitting it off. And then like Christy kind of mentions a fiance from Grand Rapids. And then lo and behold, there's a bus from Grand Rapids. So that was like something to look forward to this season. Only to see the story play out pretty much as it's pretty predictably boring way to play out for now.
And I'm also trying to figure out, like, again, I think I talked about this last episode, but if like Christy's only been there for like
six months. Mm-hmm.
Like, I started to question, like, how long have, Boyd and Donna been there, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about
Donna was there longer, right, than Boyd?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when Boyd's wife, right before she dies and she's about to kill their son, it didn't look like, what's the son's name? Ellen, not Ellen.
You're close.
Something like that, right?
Ellis. Yeah.
Ellis. He didn't look that much younger, right? So
he was not that much older, yeah. So I guess they didn't have a doctor then until about 6 months prior to when we first meet the Matthews family.
Which seems intentional, right? What if this is like, would it terribly disappoint you if all these people volunteered for this because it is the future's most immersive escape room that they're unaware of?
I would be disappointed if this takes a sci-fi turn. Mm-hmm. So then you could just be like, explain away anything then. We're in that territory. And I would prefer a kind of more supernatural. This is almost like a Bermuda Triangle type thing, right?
Yeah.
Like that sort of mystery to it. Like they're stuck somewhere.
We haven't even gotten back to the whole the big ass spiders or whatever they are.
Oh yeah, that's true. The spiders were in the forest.
Yeah, yep. I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about it. Because that's the last time Boyd kind of saw his wife, right? And didn't he get bit by a spider too? Like, man, this guy's going through it.
yeah, he really was. Yeah. He is getting, a lot of it is his choices, and then they're kind of like, they're getting like consequences to him.
Right.
Like, for one, keep Sarah alive, and then like coming back, stuff like that. And getting then breaking his own blood. Rules. Yeah. Yeah. Getting wormy blood. Yeah. So I don't know if that means that ties him to the place inherently. So maybe he'll see stuff more clearly now because he's more tied to something there. I don't know.
Like, who's to even say if it's real or if anybody else is going to see it or what's going to happen in episode 6? Like, nobody knows.
yeah. All righty. Do you have any other thoughts on From?
No, this episode is not my favorite.
It was bad. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. But I'm ready for this next movie because it's a real treat, William.
So, so for Hot Sexy Death Summer, you picked Dead Heat.
Yes.
Because of...
In Remembrance of Treat Williams.
In Remembrance of Treat Williams, which we'll get into in just a sec, because... John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4. 1980s legendary classic, Dead Heat.
Legendary classic, okay.
Starring Treat Williams and Joe Piscopo, and guest starring Vincent Price. Coming in at number 3, deadbeat cops feel alive.
Yep.
Coming in at number 2, for Dead Heat, friend avenges friend with friend.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 1, Dead Heat, which sums up the movie in 5 words. Stew people fight for rich.
Stew? What do you mean? Oh,
they're stew people.
It's true.
They're just, you know, cooking until they become stew. So I've seen this movie several times, but you have not.
I have not. But we should talk about that originally, because, you know, everybody likes to know how we made the sausage here. Originally, you had picked Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yeah.
But hearing upon the passing of Treat Williams, you've decided to change it to Dead Heat. Do you want to talk a little bit about Treat Williams first?
Yeah. So I think it was between this one and Deep Rising, right? I think it was what I said.
And we thought this was the most summery of the two because it had heat in it.
Yeah. It was a very summery movie.
Yeah,
Treat Williams. I mean, what he first garnered fame for Hair, right? I'm pretty sure.
Yep. Hair.
And I honestly didn't really know who this guy was until what was it? I mean, it was probably Deep Rising was the first time I really took a liking to him, but it was my mother was a big fan of Mr. Williams. I don't know. What else was he famous for?
I was just about to look that up. Hold on.
Oh, the Phantom. See. He was a bad guy in the Phantom. I forgot about
he was. That. Oh, man. He was chewing the scenery in the Phantom. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of got it. Billy Zane. He's okay.
No, yeah, I think that probably was when I was whenever they came out. I was just coming of age to where I would pay attention to actors, and yes, he definitely was somebody I remember.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, I can't really think of. Oh, he was in the later Substitute movies. He took over Tom Berenger's role.
That's true, yes.
Which is not something people don't need to feel the need to watch those movies. They're not good. I saw them all, but
I think Deep Rising was his kind of like,
his comeback movie.
Yeah, in a sense that he's a really good actor who is always the supporting character, right? He's always like the supporting character guy. Especially like, you know, towards the end of the 90s and most of the 90s and the 2000s, like Deep Rising was like his one of the few starring roles that actually caught a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Like it was a genuine hit. Yeah, it was a big hit.
Because I feel like during that era of the 90s, if you had a character like this and that you wanted one of these era actors, it was always between him and James Remar.
Right. And for me personally, like, I was a huge fan of the show Everwood.
Oh, cool.
And he plays the dad in Everwood, and he was excellent in that. Excellent father. And also, I know, like, going back and watching some of his movies, like, notably, like, was it Prince of the City? Also gets really commonly referred to. And that was an excellent movie. I don't know if you've seen that movie before, Prince of the City. So. It's really cool. Like, I mean, he's basically plays a cop who's like a rat who's ratting out other cops. But he's, like, incredibly, like, it's pretty cool because it opens with, like, him flashing back, having, like, a nightmare. And then, like, waking up and feeling like he has to go. He feels like everyone's watching him, or like somebody's like he's having like this panic in the beginning because he feels incredibly guilty about what he's doing. So it's a really cool opening, and then like it's a really good movie. But he kind of like feels he's kind of like self-righteous in a way, but he also like steals evidence in the lockers for the quote unquote right purpose. He steals like drugs and the. Whatever in the evidence rooms and stuff like that. So it's a really good movie. It's a really good starring movie. I have not seen Hair. So.
Oh, I mean, it's classic. You know? I don't know. It's good.
It's a musical, right?
It's a play. Yeah.
It's a play.
It's good. He actually also, I mean, yeah, I think I do recall this Tales from the Crypt episode, but he was also in The Simpsons. I don't know if you knew that. He played a character named Treat Williams.
He played himself. Okay.
Yeah, other than that, I'm not. Yeah, he's just one of those people. Like, every time I saw him, I was always happy, you know? Because, I mean, I think he was a very, very talented actor.
He also, like, came up at a time when, like, we were more conscious of, like, movies and who would, you know, especially in the late 90s.
Right.
Period. Yep. Right. So, like, he was in a lot of those movies and stuff. So, RIP, he will be missed. You said you were you've seen this movie. Are you a fan of this movie? What is?
I mean, you saw the movie. Do you think it's right up my alley?
It's more.
I think it's like a very like Evil Dead sort of inspired film where everything is like intentionally goofy all the time. Like,
is it intentional?
Yeah, it is.
It's supposed to be tongue in cheek.
It's supposed to be funny the entire time. That's why, like, there's just like moments where it gets a little too serious, so it's kind of hard to like figure out if like it's supposed to be that bad or not. But yeah, it's intentionally supposed to be a funny like comedy horror.
Okay. Like it's supposed to kind of blend it. It's just really hard to, because the comedy, most of the comedy is delivered by Joe Piscopo, who's not the most nuanced actor who's ever graced the street.
This movie inspired me to look up if Joe Piscopo had an Instagram.
Oh no, he feels like he's Republican.
He had a change of heart during the Trump era.
Pro or con?
Pro.
Obviously. Okay.
Which is, to each their own. But
he's a man of a certain age, isn't he? Like, who probably very.
But I did, just to see if he said anything about Treat Williams. And the first post I saw, which was the last post he posted about it, was, I think, a photo of them. But then it just promoted his podcast or whatever. Which I was like, that's fucked, dude. But then the post before that had nothing to do with the podcast or anything else. It was just like a very heartfelt, like, he'll be missed or whatever. We did Dead Heat together and we might have like laughed our way through that entire shoot. I was like, oh, that's fun to know, though. Yeah. Clearly they're having fun.
Okay. Okay. That colors that, my response a little bit.
Yeah, does that clear it up? So if you decide to watch it again, just understand that it's supposed to be funny and you're like, oh, okay. Because like even the bad guys, like the henchmen, are like kind of real goofy, over the top. Like the first two bad guys, stew people that you see, are like super hardcore. Like one guy's talking in this sort of weird timbre, he's telling the other guy, we gotta get out of here. Why is he talking like that?
I think that horror comedy action balance was not so well executed. Oh, okay. So I blame the director. I don't blame because I feel like Treat Williams is doing what he's supposed to be doing, the straight cop, turns into a zombie. That's not a spoiler, right?
But you listen to what he's saying a lot of the time, and he's also saying equally as goofy stuff. It's just Joe Piscopo is very animated.
Right, yeah. It's kind of a hard balance to so many mixed genres like that is really difficult, because if it tips too much, then we got like Loaded Weapon, right? We got like spoofy parody.
Which it's very close to that, yeah.
In some respects, and then like you don't want to go too horror-ish because this movie's not quite that, but it is a good it tries to blend a lot of different genres successfully and unsuccessfully. I would say that,
yeah, because I feel like it is a horror movie, right? But it is closer to being like a action comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, there's horror elements, like the whole like zombie aspect of it. It's pretty prevalent. I mean, it's not really spoilers, right? That Treat Williams is a zombie. He dies pretty early on in the movie.
Yeah, that's kind of the point of the movie. It's just like he's got like 24 hours before he becomes stew.
Right. So,
and it's really, again, that's where like the dialogue is super funny, because they're like, oh, but we could help you. And he's like, yeah, but if it doesn't work out, I've only got 12 hours to find the piece of shit that killed him.
Right.
It's like, all right. So, in that respect, it's kind of like a Western too, right?
Yeah. I could buy that, yeah. It also has Darren McGavin. He's one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he was great.
Vincent Price is in this for reasons.
At that point, seriously, for reasons. Robert Picardo comes out. He makes like a brief cameo at the beginning.
Yeah. And it definitely is trying to like be parody, be comedy, especially when they go to like Chinatown and that whole sequence of zombie chickens or something. Right? Ducks.
Yeah, ducks.
Yeah. Ducks.
And then again, I think at that point you're like, what are the rules? And it's like, I don't think the rules really matter in this movie. It's just funny, goofy. Because there's like a pig carcass that's already got its head chopped off and all its organs released, like it's still alive somehow and is trying to I don't know what he's trying to do to treat Williams. Eat him? Question mark? Just hug him to death?
Yeah. So they definitely have like big over the top like action pieces like that. Specifically, I really love the beginning because the guys are like, she's like, shut up, you old bag. Or he like pushes that woman down the jewelry store or something. Cause there's like two criminals robbing a jewelry store or something. Yeah. The guys, they're just dialogue.
Did you think Treat Williams was supposed to be the straight cop or the straight guy in this because of his suit? Or because like, if you listen to the way he talks and then the fucking bullshit he pulls, that beginning, he decides to steal a cop car and really for no reason drive back and forth and shoot at the bank.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't understand why he's doing this. But same guy. So the director of this, Mark Goldblatt, only directed three films. Okay. I mean, three things. Dead Heat was the first one. The last thing he directed was an episode of Erie, Indiana. But do you know what he directed in between?
Is it a movie or TV? A movie.
Dolph Lundgren.
The Punisher.
Louis Gossett Jr.
I know this. The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Yeah. That movie's terrible.
It is. I'm not sure what it has to do with Frank Castle other than Frank Castle.
Yeah, that's a really bad movie.
Which we should probably revisit.
Is there any horror elements in that? Tree Williams is supposed to be, I think, the straight guy, right? Of the two, between Joe Piscopo, he's the straight guy, and he's actually given, because I think Tree Williams is actually like the better actor too. So he's given he's given, you know, the starring role. He's given the, you know, he's being dead, being going to turn into a zombie. So that's always like something going on. But he's really like, Tree Williams delivers this, all his lines, like could be serious and dry. It's pretty much the entire time. Never really like giving away like he's.
I mean,
the ludicrousness of the plot.
Cause the dialogue is fucking bonkers. At one point, Tree Williams is like, oh no, we need to stop at a drugstore. And he decides to pick up mulberry wine lipstick to give color to his lips. But it's like, his lips aren't naturally red, but okay. And he's like, does this look bad? And Joe Piscopo is like, it brings out your eyes. And then that becomes a callback line later too. I'm like.
Yeah.
I don't know. This movie's a good time for me.
It is. In retrospect, yes. I was looking. I only look at movies just for what they are. And so, like, looking. But if I ever watched it again, I definitely would be like, "Yeah, that's a." Be open minded to the campiness, the silliness of it.
Goofy movie. Yeah,
it's a really goofy movie. Yeah.
And then once you get to that point, you realize how much fun all these actors are having with this film. Like they're just having fun.
That's where I feel I don't want to say this, but if they had like a stronger director, they could have been more balanced in a way. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess so. That, or maybe a stronger script. This writer, only other good thing he did was five episodes of Tales from the Crypt.
Hmm.
which I can kind of feel that in this movie. The more I think about it, it's very Tales from the Crypt-y. Like,
that's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Only thing it was missing was like gratuitous nudity, which never happened.
It's no, like, I don't think there was any nudity.
I was going to say it's still rated R, but yeah, that's true. Like, people get...
Oh, it's a lot of violence.
Murder.
Murked. Yeah, we got murked pretty like hard.
20 times over. Yeah,
yeah, just alone in the beginning, there's like over-the-top shootout cop scene. Like, you're referring to, like, Treat Williams is, like, going in circles, you know.
Like, in a public like area. I don't know if this is, like, Beverly Hills or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Funny. Yeah. How do I, like, there's also another death that I thought was, like, unintentionally funny, but that's a spoiler, I think.
Do you want to go to spoilers?
Yeah.
Go to spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers! at one point, Treat Williams takes the media advisor. I don't know what role she plays. It feels like Vincent Price's, like, girlfriend?
Inappropriately aged girlfriend.
Yeah. She's a drug addict that was dying. You find out she's actually...
She's the PR.
PR, yeah.
Is she the PR for the...
That makes sense, yeah.
Whatever company. I think that's... You're talking about the blonde girl, right? The...
Yes.
Blonde woman? Yeah.
Which, of the two... So, I guess both women work at that same place, too. There's a coroner, which is the same place that they're investigating... That one, I'm not even going to try to wrap my head around. I don't understand this company. But the coroner is somebody that Treat Williams had.
That was at the police station. Are you talking about, like, the woman? Because there's a...
Because when she's investigating the bodies are being directly taken to, like, that next room to get reanimated.
Oh.
That's why I'm like, I don't really understand. I don't think you ever go into a police station except for the beginning.
Well, they go to the morgue. They did have, yeah. I remember just like a scene taking place outside of something that said, like, Los Angeles morgue or something. And then, which doesn't mean much, right? But I think because the two guys who died... There was something wrong with them, and then they were like, they figure out what company it is, and they go to the company, so it makes sense. That's where the PR lady comes in. But they are working with their boss, right? Darren McGavin's. He's a doctor, but he's like helping them too, right? He ends up being like the mastermind.
Yeah, he ends up being the main bad guy. I mean, Vincent Price ends up being the main bad guy, but he's the guy.
He's the one who made the machine, yeah. But
yeah.
I think Darren McGavin's character is providing the bodies.
Which is pretty funny because there's like pretty obvious clues, including his license plate, which is like, is it like Bod Doctor or something like that?
Or, yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, he's always around. Yeah. It's really funny. At some point, Treat Williams takes the PR woman, not the woman that he was ultimately supposed to be with, which, by the way, I don't know if you clocked this in, but out of all the speaking characters, what's his name? Robert Picardo's character is the one that stays alive, I think.
Well, yeah, everyone dies.
Or eventually will die, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Captain Mayberry, played by Mal Stewart. So they split off so they can investigate two different things because Treat Williams is running out of time, which, in the grand scheme of things, I was trying to figure out, like, if he's only got X amount of hours left, like, including commute time and this and that, but then I was like, nah, I'm not going to worry about it. So they split off, and then they go to meet up with Joe Piscopo, and Joe Piscopo has been tied upside down and submerged into an abnormally large fish tank.
Yeah.
Like most of his body is submerged underwater and he drowned.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe Piscopo dies at that point. But guess what? They're going to reanimate him. And because he's been brain dead for several hours, he's a mindless zombie that will do what they say? Question mark. Also not going to question that.
You got to explain the part where Drew Williams is like finally, you know, they have like one intimate moment with the whatever, the blonde girl. And then she melts to bone. Like, I didn't, I don't remember. I didn't get the context of that. Like, how come she melted?
You remember that video that they were trying to prevent them from watching, the one where Vincent Price pops up for the first time and says, "My princess," blah, blah, blah. So she mentions that she was at that clinic for drug rehab, but it was terminal. Like, she was already dying. So Vincent Price was able to bring her back, and she was the first success case. As long as she kept doing something with the company, they would keep her alive. But they also don't show how they keep her alive. But she was fully aware that she was going to turn into stew at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns into stew because she's been dead. And then...
Yeah.
The
Which is foreshadows his potential fate, right? It's kind of what I'm assuming the thing is, yeah.
And then I think at that point they actually get... He gets caught, right? They tie him up and put him in a soundproof. I like the dialogue in this because it's just, what's his character? What's Darren McGavin's Dr. Ernest something, right?
McNabb.
Anyway. McNabb? Yeah.
McNabb
designed a soundproof EMT truck for whatever reason. But like with the dialogue, he's like, custom made, completely soundproof. Nobody can hear you. Blah, blah, blah. Place for you to turn into stew. I'm like, when did he have time for this? Like, was this specifically made for him? Or like, was he designing something like this for fun on the op? Anyway. So Treat Williams is now introduced to his now dead potential love interest, the coroner, and she's passed away. And then at that point, I love it because he goes full in, like, fuck it. He's like, I know how to get out of here. He's like, we're going on a long, long trip. There's a bunch of one-liners in this movie too that are really stupid and funny. Like, I always thought we'd end up together, but not like this. But we're gonna go for a long trip. And he reaches over, he puts the fucking car into neutral, they're on a hill, rolls all the way down, and he's just super excited, like screaming. The thing explodes. And now he's wearing, because the way fire works is you're going to have spiky black hair, right? and your clothes that you're wearing before are now going to be dyed black. It's what happens in fire. So he's wearing like an all black outfit. Yeah. And he goes like just all like balls in, fucking getting shot up, blown up. He's blowing people up. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And it becomes a good time. And then that's when Joe Piscopo gets reanimated as a demonstration for Vincent Price's like old rich people clients.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when McNabb is like, yeah, he's been brain dead for a long time. So now he's just a mindless, obedient zombie. But they don't explain why he's obedient. And he goes like, kill this guy, would you? And then Joe Piscopo is just looking at Treat Williams like, kill this guy, would you? Kill this guy, would you? And he's trying to kill him, and it takes like what, 30 seconds for Treat Williams to be like, come on, don't you remember, it brings out my eyes. And he's like, and Joe Piscopo just has a turn like, oh yeah, Roger, oh, I don't want to kill Roger. It's so stupid. Like, I was waiting for some other line to be like, oh, he's been brain dead since birth, so it doesn't matter. But no, they just let it go.
Yeah.
Doug and Roger, classic buddy cop film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even has one more one-liner at the very end where Treat Williams goes to Joe Piscopo like, you know, Doug, like, what's that, Roger? I think this is going to be the end of a beautiful friendship. They just like go into a white light.
Yeah. Definitely a movie you got to be in the mood for. Yeah. Or have context for.
I can't believe I just explained all that like an excited kid. Like yeah. I just saw fucking Ninja Turtles for the first time or something. I'm like, oh my God. And then Shredder becomes Super Shredder. It's Kevin Nash.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Oh, Super Shredder? Yeah, that was that. Kevin Nash in the second.
Super Shredder? Yeah. Second one, Secret of the Ooze. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Kevin Nash. Oh, bunch of dogs. I guess people are popping fireworks.
Not to give away when we're recording this, but yeah. You may hear fireworks pop.
And it is also snowing. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah.
Just confuse them.
Yeah. Throw them off the scent. Well, technically, since I live on the east side, I get fireworks year-round. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I live deeper in the city, so people are afraid to fucking get arrested.
Yeah. Not as many fireworks.
And that is Dead Heat.
And that was Dead Heat. Alrighty. Let's move over to... let's rate this thing. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm gonna give Dead Heat 8 sexy, spooky dead bones.
I'll give it 4 sexy, spooky bones.
Yeah, fair.
It's that because I see exactly where you're coming from. Like, and it definitely has laugh out loud moments, like in a sense that like it's completely ridiculous what's going on and what's being said and how it's being portrayed. Like it's just like almost like spoof parody at times.
Yeah. I think was a part of the intention, but I can understand what you're saying. It still is very B movie because the director had a hard time.
Yeah. This is one of those like fun movies. You know. We can. What would be a good double feature for Dead Heat and
like My Boyfriend's Back or something like that, or
Skinamarink or
no.
You could sleep through one of these movies. I'm not gonna tell you which one.
Also, you can watch the first like 10 seconds of one of these movies and pretty much get the entire film. It's going to be the same exact yeah. shot over and over again, so it doesn't matter.
No. It was a 4 for me. R.I.P. Treat Williams. What great actor. Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky, will ya?
Williams?
No, will ya?
Oh. Okay, sorry, I fucked that up.
Kill this guy, will ya?